Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I think we should attack from the land.
No.
Strike from the air.
Well, that's just plain silly.
No, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Stop it.
No. You stop it.
A fierce arsenal is at your fingertips as you attack from above and below using dual screen combat. Advance Wars Dual Strike, only for Nintendo DS. Rated E for everyone.
Stop it. Now you've done it.
Oh, you children!
I had to do the DS commercial. They didn't have a GBA one. Welcome to Play Retro, everyone. Yes, that's right. This is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And please take your turn moving tanks and artillery around this board. Yep. Also, watch out, armored personnel carriers. You have no guns. And no gun means no fun. Also, why is everyone so anime in this?
It's a good question. Probably because anime. Oh, and I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. I think this black hole joker is sending a tank my way across this 10 by 15 grid of advanced life living to capture my HQ. But I got bad news for the blackest of hole. Yes, I got my tank of 10 waiting for his anime smack talking face. 40 hours in and I'm still playing the damn tutorial.
Pew pew. The game never, the tutorial never ends.
I'm still playing the damn what?
Then never, yes. That never ends. It's part of the game. Tutorial to the end.
I finally skipped to the last tutorial so I could start playing the campaign. Whatever.
You can do that, which is nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
We're going to talk about Advance Wars 1 and 2 and some other stuff too as well. As you heard, there was a commercial at the top for the DS version of the game, but they didn't have any really... They had some trailers, but they had no voiceovers, so I couldn't really use like the early stuff.
Yeah, they didn't even think when Nintendo started to release Advance Wars internationally outside of Japan after Wars, Nintendo Wars and all that stuff. They didn't think it was going to be successful. So there's this kind of like going, oh, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
They didn't think it was going to be big. Turns out it was not going to be just big. It was going to be freaking huge. And people have a lot of fond feelings for that series. We're going to talk about it, us included, here shortly. Before we do, what we did this week in retro stuff, I've been back to playing my Amberneck all week like crazy. And it's because of this game today. So what happened is I played a ton of Advance Wars 1 and 2 in preparation for the show. I've beaten these games years ago. It doesn't matter. I still love playing them again. And then I started playing a load of other tactical turn-based games. Like I played a bunch of Front Mission, which I played a little bit back in the day on a rental. And then I remember at the time it was a SNES game. And I remember going, that game's great. We got to rent that again. And then we never did. And I never bought it. And
that's how it always happens.
I regretted it later. I was like, oh, I got to play that again. And so there's also a new version. They did like a remaster on Steam. I'm thinking about picking that up. Demo's good. But anyway, played a bunch of that. Then I played some Final Fantasy Tactics. I played some Tactics
Ogre. We've talked
about
that before.
We have. Yeah. I played, what was the other one? One of the old Robot Wars from Namco, but very similar to this. And I just got really hooked on it. And once again, all of it led me to be playing a Fire Emblem, that like the OG GBA Fire Emblems again.
Makes sense.
And I love those games. When we talk about those games, you're going to hear me gush like a like a freak. I can't wait.
Yeah, a lot of people have asked us to do the do more on the Fire Emblem. So yeah, we gotta dig deep on that. We've talked about it in brief in some previous episodes, but yeah, we need to dive in deep. And I never played Advance Wars before this, even though Scott's been telling me for a few years now, especially right before the remakes came out last year, to get on it. And I'm like, slow down, Johnson.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Slow your roll.
And
buddy.
So just a spoiler. I really enjoyed myself this week.
That's great, right? It's so good. If you turn-based anything, these are just like, these are such, not diamonds in the rough. They're full-on diamonds. They're just diamonds.
Oh, they're full-on diamonds. Yeah, baby. They're that man, that nothing is more thorough. You would not believe the depth of gaming that happens in this mobile, this GBA, this Game Boy Advance game. Once again, the Game Boy Advance blowing us away. I played mine on the AmberNick, not the AmberNick. See, made me say AmberNick.
The analog pocket.
This is analog pocket. Yeah.
What do you got? Wait, you got two cartridges sticking out of there? What do you got in the back of that thing?
Oh, yeah. So I got my Pokemon Gold in the back.
Yeah.
And then I loaded up last week, loaded up the what's called Open FPGA, which allows me to load up ROMs.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm playing Advanced Wars, because I did not have any copies of Advance Wars.
I didn't know that thing had. I didn't know that had storage on it. That you could do that. I don't know why I thought that. I thought it was just cartridges.
Absolutely. Got a little SD card right here. A little micro SD card.
Yeah.
Load that puppy up with the Open FPGA. Yeah. And load up your ROMs. And the next thing you know, you're playing your video games right here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, real life. Yeah, it's good.
Cool, man. You also played some old school RuneScape, and I've done that too recently. And I can't tell if I like it or not. I can't tell.
So actually, I actually didn't get around to playing the old school RuneScape, but some people have been suggesting that I play it. And I've been streaming more on kick.com/missiondeep. And the biggest retro scene over there, you got to get it in, man, when you can.
Yeah,
the biggest retro scene over there is for old school RuneScape. And I've watched a few people play, and I've also noticed that people over on Kick are really bad about not changing what they're playing. Because I'll tune in and I'm like, let's look at some old school RuneScape, and they'll be playing something, modern. And I'm like, this is Power World. This is not old school. Change your stuff.
Yeah.
But it looks interesting. And it's got my favorite title there, old school. So I'm like, let's play some old school.
Yeah, old school. Old school seems like that's right up your alley when they say words like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it looks huge. It looks like it'd be a huge undertaking. So I'm kind of looking forward to diving deep into it.
It's because of Tanner in our community that I checked it out. He's a big player. He likes that game. And
Tanner has recommended it before as well. Yes. Yeah. And it looks like it's a free download.
Just
go to oldschool.runescape.com.
You can play it on your phone. You can play it on your computer, your PC, whatever, your Mac. It's all everywhere.
Yeah.
So go for it.
Pretty thriving community out there. So, I don't know. I guess I need to get involved. If you got the deets, let me know.
Yeah. Let Brian know. He wants to join your guild and grind all day. Okay.
You want to grind all day, baby.
He wants to grind on you. Wait a minute. What? All right. Well, that's fantastic.
That's cool.
Let's dive in to today's main topic.
Shall we play a game?
We shall indeed. We're going to talk about the first of a few of these games. Advance Wars, which was released in 2001 on the Game Boy Advance, critically acclaimed turn-based strategy game.
Yes.
This was made by Intelligent Systems and published by Nintendo, which is why you never see it anywhere but on Nintendo platforms. They essentially own it. But more recently, you may have heard about it because, controversially, it was supposed to release a few years ago, right as the Ukrainian-Russian invasion happened. And because these fictitious nations in this war in Advance Wars, even though it's goofy and kind of anime, are based on that conflict or that part of the world, and they felt like it was too insensitive to release the remake of those two games for the Switch during those early days of that conflict. So they pulled their plans. Is this a like an X-Files kind of I want to believe kind of thing, tinfoil on their head?
I think there's always a war going on, and they were just like, hey, we need an excuse for being late on the game.
Oh,
there's war, conflict going on in the world. We're going to be a little bit late because why? They played the same card back when they released the Advance Wars for GBA 2001. You may remember that it was released on September the 10th in North America, and then You know, the next day, September the 11th, 2001, suddenly they delayed the rest of the release international for a good little while. Just to make sure everybody was comfortable with it.
You don't think that was just because of 9/11, and you think it was because they wanted more time. They weren't done yet.
There's no terrorist in this game.
Yeah.
And there's war all the time, and no one was blowing up towers. So
plus no one dies. No one really dies in this game. It's just kind of G.I. Joe, right?
Right.
Like, just yeah,
so totally G.I. Joe. Go Joe. So yeah.
Yeah. I think you're
I think it's an easy go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I don't think that's conspiratorial. Yeah. I think that's probably fair.
A little free press, a little, a little more breathing room to release your thing. I don't know, maybe.
It's
getting old and cynical.
Yeah. I do that too. But the game was awesome, and it was awesome for a bunch of reasons. Number one was very accessible. I think that's what made it win so many audiences over, maybe in territories where turn-based hadn't really either come back or picked up or was a kind of a mainstream sort of game type. You know, a lot of people were used to that with tabletop and D&D and that sort of thing. But in their video games, this is an era where people are like, real time. I want real time strategies. I want real time fighting. And the lost art of turn-based, I think, was at a bit of a lag. So this thing comes over on Nintendo's, you know, venerable little handheld and took the world by storm. It basically worked very simply. You get in. This lady who's basically like a 1960s stewardess on an airplane.
Yeah, so weird. I love it. It's very Japanese.
She teaches you everything. And it's things like your mobile infantry. They move this many spaces. And if they go into a tree, that slows them down. But while they're in the tree, they have an advantage if the other opposing unit or set of units is not in a tree. That means that you'll take less damage and you'll deal more damage because you're in an advantageous position. Yes. Same thing with mountains. Same thing with if someone's in the river and you're not in the river people are at a disadvantage. There's a very rock, paper, scissors thing going on throughout this game. And
a lot of stats that are hidden behind simple gameplay and beautification of these cartoony graphics that are simplified. And I really dug that because it really feels like a lot of magic is going in the, it takes a lot of the overthinking that I do a lot of times in strategy games.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of that away. You still have to think and had to concentrate, but you know,
it's
sometimes
not, it's less work, like, right? Because sometimes it feels like work in those games. This does not feel like work. It feels like fun to think ahead and to be strategic.
Yeah.
And all
it's kind of like playing checkers instead of playing chess. I mean, I love a good game of chess, but I have to be in the mood. Checkers I can play anytime. A little strategy from time to time. Don't move your back row, you know, or, you know, move this over here. Try to bait people. It's more simplified. But
in a really good way. I agree with you. That's why I like this and I like Fire Emblem. Both those games tend to lean toward this is fun and exciting and less of this is hard and you better be a genius to pull it off. And not that those games aren't worth playing. There's plenty of those strategy games for people who love that stuff. And I admire those people, but this is way more my speed. This is what I want.
Yeah. Every time you start to take yourself serious, you enter into a combat mode. So you like when you engage the enemy for a minute, the combat screen will pop up and you'll have your little anime character's face, your commanding officer's face, whoever you're using. And they'll be making some kind of expression. And then there's these really nice little cartoony characters that are shooting each other. And they just, you know, when they hit each other, the people just fly off the screen. They don't die. They just
go
been rejected back. There's been recycled, right? It's not bad. It's good. And so as it makes you remember that, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
And I have a
potentially controversial statement to make to Switch owners out there. Yes. Here you go. I vastly, and I don't mean it's even close. I vastly prefer the look of the GBA game over those remakes. I do not like how shiny and perfect the remakes are.
Yes.
There's something about the pixel work in this that I love. I love how everything's just kind of throb animating. It's the only way I know how to put it, where you kind of have two frames and everyone's always moving in those two frames.
Yeah, everybody's bouncing.
Yeah, they do that in like breathing. Final Fantasy Tactics does that, where they all just kind of like go. But the
it's a breathe, right? It's a breathe. It's to represent that they're alive. It's breathing.
Yeah, it's like fighting games or anything else. You just kind of have that fun little animation. And the new one is very polished, very clean 3D models for everything. I think the art of the girl when she's giving you the tutorial just looks too like a computer did it. It's hard for me to explain. I really prefer this.
No.
I'd take this over that.
There's definitely a charm here that well, did we talk about it pre-show about the phones and stuff? I think so. We had a big discussion pre-show about handheld stuff, and we had talked about, you know, how we miss the Game Boy Advance kind of games and stuff because it's not so slick and smooth. It looks like a video game. It doesn't look like you said, like it's too easy to make something look really slick and polished now in the App Store on phones. And so now I've kind of associated that slick and polished going, you're just trying to scam me out of my money.
Yeah. It's easy to feel like they're just
gritty.
Someone's after you and they just want your wallet. And I don't like that feeling. But mainly it's just that, I don't know. How do I put this? This game is a mix of simplicity and complexity in a way that a lot of games don't know how to nail. It's very difficult. Yeah. And when a game does that, a really good example of this recently is this card game, totally different kind of game, nothing like this, but it's a card game called Balatro. I'm not sure how you say it.
Right.
Anyway, it is just such a perfect balance of simplicity and complexity. And also, its UI and the way you interact with it is so smart and so just perfectly designed that you cannot put it down. It's just, it begs you to keep playing it. Advance Wars 1 and 2 are that for me. And to some degree, the DS game was good. There are other games that have been inspired by this that I quite like, some third-party stuff. I don't know if you played Wargroove or not. But
I have not played it, but I did look at it. It was on my list of what is modern. I think Wargroove 2 is coming out or just recently come out.
Yeah, it just came out.
Already out. Yep.
Came out last year, I think. But Wargroove 2 is not getting as good a reviews as 1. I don't know what happened there. I haven't played it, but 1 is excellent. It's more fantasy based. So it's more like a mix of this and say a Fire Emblem or something. But I'm whenever I play one of these, I immediately look for more. I'm like, what else is going on?
Yeah.
Where else can I get some of this feeling? And very few have figured this exact magic. Very rare.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Very rare. And you mentioned the user design. The user design is fantastic. It shows you everything you need on the screen. And you're talking about a screen that's for the Game Boy Advance, so it's a pretty small screen.
Yeah.
But everything's right there for you to easily spot, see, you know, it's just everything is in shapes and bright colors, so they're easily identifiable. So you can make those quick decisions between, you know, marching over to the bad guy's side, the black hole, trying to get over there and, you know, capture his headquarters or, you know, capture some buildings in between there. Or just destroy everybody.
That's the only part about the game that gives me anxiety is the capturing of buildings, because when you go and stomp on an enemy building, and what that does, it gives you resources. So those resources are important because you're going to buy when you need to buy new units and repopulate the field if you've lost some or whatever, that's where that money comes from in order to afford it. You got to capture other people's buildings, either gray neutral ones, and it takes three turns to fully capture
one? In most of the tutorials, if you have a troop of 10, which seems to be the standard for most, it will take two turns to do it unless you've been damaged along the way.
Oh, right.
In which case you only can capture at the number of troops that you have in your group when you're attacking it.
So right.
It could take more turns or it could take two.
It could take two.
Unless you pick the right commanding officer, which we haven't really talked about, that's one of the things that makes this game really stand out in all these strategy games, is the commanding officer perks. So based on what commanding officer you pick to go through the campaign or to play multiplayer, you can have perks. There's one that has a greater speed in movement and a greater speed in capture. So it still may take two turns to capture a building, But if you have only five in your troop, it might take less than, but a full troop will still take two. So there was some strategy there as well, picking your commanding officer. Plus, you get to decide if you want the silly ones that are more serious, play a little role playing, go, I'm more like butthole over here. I like talking smack.
Yeah.
And,
I like talking smack. That's you for real.
I do like talking smack.
Yeah, he's a smack talker.
I do like the command officer thing.
Yeah, I like that too. Too, it's even more prominent in the second game. Some have argued a little too prominent. And overall, if you go and look up any kind of rankings anywhere, historical or from now, looking back at this game or these games, one is always held as the high watermark, and two, a slightly second tier experience, not as good as one.
Right.
I honestly don't think it's that big of a difference. I think they both kind of deserve to sit next to each other. But some people think there's a darker tone in two, and I think that maybe put some people off a little bit. That was also true of the DS game.
The DS game really dark.
Yeah, there was a game. Oh, no, not GameCube. What am I thinking of?
The Dark Conflict. They got so dark they called it the Dark Conflict in there.
Yeah, that's the one, right? Dark Conflict was the one was that? Is that three?
Yeah, Days of Ruin. So yeah, three, Advance Wars, Days of Ruin, which is for the DS, and it was called Dark Conflict in Europe. And yes, it took a much more serious approach, being a little more somber. But the first two they're pretty close to the same. You got some differences in what units you can control. You've got some, they expanded more of the commanding officers. They got a little more mix in there. But that was one of the criticisms about two, was they didn't take enough chances. Yeah. They just took what was working and added some content. And I'm usually fine with that. I don't know what people are complaining about. This game, I would be, if you drop down money, if you drop down 50, 60 bucks, whatever it was for Advance Wars, you were getting your money's worth. This game is hours of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Many, many hours of fun.
Many, many hours of fun. And you may not even notice this, chat, but I just put up video for two, and you'd say, wait, that looks a lot like one. Well, yeah, they're very similar.
Looks very similar.
Yeah, they don't. Very similar. Yours is a different, your enemies look very different. These guys got those weird helmets and, you're at least your first.
New enemies.
Yeah, new enemies. Things get a little darker.
Tower.
Yep. That river animates. It didn't used to. Things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly more of the same, which in my case, that's what I wanted. And that's what they gave me. I revere both games as maybe, okay. This is actually difficult to do because the GBA is just soaked in amazing games. That is,
yes.
I said it pre-show, I'll say it again. It is one of the greatest libraries of games for any console of any kind, handheld or otherwise. I absolutely will stand by that till my dying day. It's got some of the best stuff from Nintendo themselves, but also third parties. It's just an incredible run for...
They were shining.
Yeah, I think it's the high point. I really do, of anything they ever did. Well, anyway, if you said to me, hey, Scott, if I have a top 100 in that handheld, where would you put these games? Mm-hmm, and these are both in the top five, like without question.
Oh yeah. These have rocketed to my, like, I have a very limited list so far because I'm still working through the library. Didn't play a lot of Game Boy Advance games. Mm-hmm. I kind of skipped that whole generation. I had a little bit of SP stuff, but not many. But yeah, immediately this was like, oh my God, this is so freaking good. And how am I going to stop playing this to play next week's game when I'm still hooked?
Yeah.
On this week's game.
Yeah, this one is really, it gets into your blood, man. It's hard to not. But funny enough, we haven't mentioned this. The single player, obviously very deep, lots of rich stuff to do, different modes and all of that. There's this war room thing. There's, the main campaign. There's like a versus thing. Mm-hmm. And of course, like you can make your own custom scenarios, which was very innovative at the time.
Which I did. And I'm not good.
I cannot do that stuff. Smart people make that shit. I can't do that. The interface is easy. It's making a compelling scenario. I don't know how to do that. I'm terrible at it.
Oh, no. You know what I did? I did what I always do. I made one headquarter on one side, and then I put a couple of buildings in between. Then I made a headquarters on the other side, threw a couple of inventories on each side, make it balance. I just did exactly the same. I just did mirror worlds is all I did. I was like, okay, over here on this side, you have the exact same thing as this guy. Fight
round one. Yeah, fight. See if who wins. Yeah, right. That's how I did it too. And it was, I don't know. I was never good at it. The point is, though, There was a multiplayer mode in this that I appreciated and will to this day because no one does this anymore. But pass and play multiplayer. Pass and play multiplayer is amazing.
Pass and play.
Because you don't need anything special. You don't need 5DS or 4DSs. You don't, or GBAs. You don't need a bunch of cables. You just need to your turn and then hand it to the guy next to you. And then he does his turn.
And it's pretty fast.
Hands it to the next guy. It's pretty fast. That's simple, right? Yeah, you're not waiting. That's the other thing. You're not waiting forever. You basically just make your move and pass it on. It's a true turn-based experience, and you get to share the same console, and there's something about that I like. I just don't have a bad thing to say, dude. This is like a perfect gaming experience.
I love it. Curious about the link cable, though. I mean, I've never once, Scott. Now, I played some multiplayer games using, like, later on when we started getting, you know, into wireless stuff with the handhelds and from Nintendo, but like the link cable themselves, I've never linked up with anybody. I've never taken two systems and said, here, let me plug into your system and then we're going to play a game. Be careful. Don't back up. I feel like these are the things that would happen. It's like, stand still. Cause if you stand still and jerk this out of my hand, I'm going to smack you in the face. Mm. So I've never done that. Is that something you ever did? Did you ever do it?
I had the link cable and I did this very thing.
Yeah.
Not with this game though. I did it with, cause in that case you had to own two copies.
Right.
Somebody else had to have it.
Two copies.
Not every game did that. Some games you could get away with one and it had some kind of way to play. Mm-hmm. Not maybe the full game, but like some multiplayer mode or whatever. I'm trying to think of which ones and I can't, but there were games like that.
Yeah, it's fine.
The same thing would, when the DS was around and Wi-Fi was built in, there were some games that would also let you play that way without, you know, both holding the game. However, the link cable stuff was cool. It was really just a LAN. It was a LAN party for handhelds. Like you just hook them up. If you both had the game, you could play. I think Mario Kart. Someone just said it in the chat. Bad Poor said it in the chat as well. Mario Kart, the GBA game, which I forgot the name of. Mario Kart something Advance.
Mario Advance. But that's a good way. Most everything for the Advance, if it was a first party, it was going to be called Advance.
Yeah, just like 64 did it. All the 64 names.
Yeah.
They always did. Supers, all the Supers on Super Nintendo. I don't know what they were thinking. This is stupid.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess it makes sense. That game played really well with that. And so there were definitely advantages, especially to real-time stuff. But in a game like this, just pass and play, man. Who cares?
That sounds like the best way. That's probably the way I would have played it. Yeah. And this game is smarter than I give it credit for, because I was playing last night. I said I worked through the tutorials in both of them. I finally got to the tutorial. I got past the tutorial. I finally just kind of cheated a little bit and passed some through the tutorial and got onto the campaign stuff on 2, which is Advanced Wars 2, Black Hole Rising. Black Hole Rising! Mm-hmm. And I got in there and I thought I was doing pretty good. I'm crossing. I got my guys. And they're going across the mountains because I'm like, this dude has left his headquarters unguarded. I'm going to sneak behind him and get to his headquarters.
No.
And I was going and the weather changed. The first time it happened to me in any of the stuff that I had played, suddenly I couldn't go any further. I couldn't go forward anymore because the commanding officer I chose was supposed to be a well-balanced. It's the kid one.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the well-balanced one. And the person I was fighting against apparently had weather immunity.
Ooh.
So he was doing the same thing I was doing, which was marching through the mountains to get to the person's headquarters. I got stuck because it started snowing. I'm like, what's going on? And so because I was thinking, I'm one turn ahead of him.
Yeah.
I got this. But then the weather changed. I'm like, you cheating ass game. So, I know you cheating. I know you know where I'm at. And so then I backed my guys out of the mountains. I guess I have to go around. And then the very next round, the weather changed again. I was like, oh, I'm gonna kill this game.
Yeah.
The game did this thing.
It would do this thing with weather where the weather would change to snow. And it was actually a giant pain in the ass because snow meant different terrain conditions. And if you were in the wrong square and they attacked you on it and the snow suddenly turned you from a neutral to a negative place to be. You were like, well, shit, I'm going to lose all these army guys. This is going to suck. But it was so good.
What is his name? Has it Flack? I forget which character it was. It's the first guy you fight against in the first one.
The mustache beard guy.
He has weather immunity. He has like some kind of weather immunity. So there you go. So if you're like, oh, I'm going to pick this commanding officer because he's well-rounded. He's, you know, I think I picked Colin or something. Anyway, there's a bunch of really cool armies. What is it like? Blue Moon, Green Earth, Black Hole.
Yeah.
Yellow Moons, Rainbows. Green Clovers. I forget. Now I'm talking about cereal. But yeah.
Nothing wrong with that little cereal.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And you pick your character, and each one of them has their own little perks. And weather apparently is one of them, but it seems so pointless until you're right in the battle and the weather changes. And you're like, well, shit, I guess I should have played as Mustachio.
Yeah.
Mustachio. Oh,
Mustachio, the famous war criminal. Mustachio.
The famous. Look, I've only played, if you're out there and you're listening and you played like hundreds of hours of Advance Wars, you're probably laughing at my lack of knowledge of Advance Wars, but it really is that robust. There really is that much shit to learn. We didn't even talked about, you got air support. You got a Navy type of thing. You've got fog of war, which you can, when you're making your maps and stuff, you can actually choose that whether you want to enable it or not. When you're playing multiplayers and different things, fog of war is just what it sounds like. You can't see in certain areas, so that means a strategic advantage to the, you know, to the person maybe you're trying to attack, because they can hide something in the woods or something, and you only can see it when your troops go onto a mountain or something.
So I'm showing the chat right now all the units. This is from the first game. Yeah. Just to add on to your whole point about different units. Stuff, but you got, like you said, helicopters, bombers, jet planes. They have limited. Oh, that's transports. The other thing. The game is deceitfully simple, but there are complex things like. You got to keep track of fuel. If you're flying around with no fuel, you're useless. Like, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Same thing goes for die, boats. Buddy. Same thing goes for the cars. You got to restock. It's another reason the buildings matter. Your little army dudes are one thing, but you also need to know what the rock, paper, scissors is for everything. So there are certain tanks where they're useless against these anti-tank infantrymen, but those same infantrymen are screwed if it's one of these tanks with machine guns on it. It's anti-personnel.
Yeah.
The game is crazy war, in-depth war stuff, but presented in this goofball kind of simplistic way. And it's worked so well. It works so well.
It does. Never once did I feel like I was bogged down in the, you know, in all the stats and stuff. I was just like, oh, okay, well, I lost that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And
this makes me want to play right freaking now. Like, forget the show. Yeah. I just want to play.
Forget the show. That's we know it's a good one when we do that. When we're like, okay, why are we even doing a show about this? We should be playing it. That's the greatest.
That's what happened with Unreal. Like, we were like, oh man, Unreal is great. I'm going to keep playing Unreal. And like, it's just, it's something about this one in particular. And I don't know why, but it just stands out, and it's a glorious thing. The only advice I would have is maybe turn the music down just a tad. It can be really obnoxious. I'll give you an example here. Let me play.
This it's good. One. It's good music.
Yeah, but it's just a lot. Here you go. I mean, this is great. This is banging, right? Let me get to actual battle music here. Okay, here we go. So this is nonstop. Just go and go and go. You play it. This is what you hear. And I would recommend taking that and turning that part down.
Yeah, take it down. I was playing this at night as we was going to bed, and I do have a sleep partner, so I had it turned down to like on my analog pocket. I had it turned down to like 2 or something like that. Very, very low volume. But I did realize how loud it was once everything got quiet in the room. And I'm like, oh my God, that's got to be annoying. She's there trying to sleep. And I've got this do, 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 do. It's very not conducive to sleeping.
I would say so. Hearing you do that. Someone in the chat reminds us, Bad Poor in the chat reminds us, Mario Kart was a single cart link cable game you could play with somebody with just a single cart. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's great.
I like that. That's a good way to sell your game, because it's like they get a little hit and then they want to go home and get their own.
That's right. They want to get their own.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Now, they wouldn't stop here after these two games. They would move on to make, like we mentioned, the Advance Wars Days of Ruin in the States or Dark Conflict in the EU. I don't know why the difference in the name. This was back when we still did that a little bit.
Yeah, I was starting to think it too. I could. Lots of times when they had a different European name was because of something in the title that meant something different. But Days of Ruin, I couldn't think of anything that might set any things off. I don't know. Dark Conflict, was that a problem in the U.S.? Usually it's got to be something like that, but I don't guess so.
Yeah, and then, of course, this was a dual screen game, which meant that you were... Let's see if I can find some good video here of the gameplay.
Yes, finally got your top and bottom screen. And
So you get this like view. There wasn't much use to the bottom screen. I'm going to just go ahead and say that. There was like, you could see a bigger version of your map. Fine, that's fine. You still had Fog of War, so it didn't really do you that much good. You could see whose turn it was. You get some dynamic animation stuff down there. But really, it didn't. I mean, it didn't require. It does require if you want to play it. It's just not needed, you know? You didn't really need it.
I haven't read a lot of interviews with developers for the DS, but I have a feeling that a lot of people are like, oh, shit, what am I doing with a second screen? I mean, I don't know. We can't have, you know, it's the touch one. It's you got to put stuff down there for touching. People are going to want to touch it. And I'm sure Nintendo was like, you got to put some kind of feature in the game that's going to make people, you know, feel like they got a value for the touch. I'm sure it was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I'm sure I would have hated it. It's like, oh, Nintendo, why two screens? Nobody else is doing two screens.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that, you know, that was their gimmick. That's what games were like then. There were plenty of great games on the DS, but it's funny how many DS games I preferred. The games I preferred were ones where the second screen was superfluous. You didn't need it. And the nice thing about emulation is you can play those games now and only show one of the screens if that's all you need. Because a lot of times it's just info down there. It's just like, oh, okay.
Well,
I don't need this. I'm playing Mario Kart up here and I'm driving just fine. I don't need to see the map.
I don't need to see Mario occasionally looking back and going, woohoo.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! I don't need that.
Never need that. Anyway, Dark Conflict was, like we said, a little darker in tone. You can even see it in the art.
Yeah.
Like the art's like
serious
anime. And
exactly.
A lot of people didn't like that. They didn't like this trend toward making it darker.
Because we'd been playing Advance Wars 1 and 2, and we had really started to like it. And we're like, we like the humor and the comedy and the silly kid making silly faces. And you know, when you bummed out your opponent, they made bummed out faces. We like that. War is serious enough. War is serious enough. We didn't need dark conflict.
No.
Days of Ruin.
I also get why, you know, developers do a lot of things for a lot of reasons. They probably thought this is around the time where, you know.
We had to get bad. We had attitude.
Attitude. Later, right? It's like, hey, the next Zelda game better be hardcore Zelda and not cartoony. It's like, well,
right.
Now we've got some wisdom. We've learned that both things are valid and depends on the context. And I'd take Wind Waker any day over realistic Zelda. Any day.
Yeah.
I love that game.
It was.
Can we talk? We're doing that game one time, right? It's old enough.
Oh, dude. Absolutely. It's funny because it's like McConaughey say, they keep getting older and we keep staying the same age because that's what's happening here, man. Every day something kind of falls into our purview. Right now, 2004 is 20 years ago now, and so that's kind of fallen in. It still falls into what we like to do, you know. It's old enough that people kind of forgotten about it.
So it's 20 years, 20 or more. Yeah, that's the rule, right? Not the rule, but that's the general.
It's not consensus. The rule, but it's kind of like that. We mostly play a little bit on, did it stand up, and is it just nostalgia? So that's definitely two things that we like to focus on here. And at a 10-year milestone, people start remembering, oh, yeah, remember I used to play that? But they don't necessarily go revisit it. But at 20 years, you start going, well, it's been a while. It's been 20 freaking years. And so then you got to look and say, oh, is the nostalgia an issue or does it still hold up? And then 30 years, you're like, holy shit, I'm getting old, dude. But we're starting to get video games that are like, you know, 40 and 50 years old. And it's like, Jesus, how did
this stuff ain't cheap. You know,
no, that's
or not
crazy,
cheap. This stuff ain't young is what I meant to say. I don't know why I said cheap.
No, it's not.
Cheap's the wrong word.
It's not cheap either. No, when you're talking about playing retro, it's not cheap.
It can add up. The thing about, I was going to say something. You were saying that we try to distinguish between when we have nostalgia for a thing versus how does it actually play today if I'd never seen it before. This game, I think, with maybe a couple of exceptions that I'm not thinking of right now on the show, this is the most where these two are equal, where I have both strong nostalgia for this series and this shit holds up like as good as anything modern. Like it's so good that whatever we do from here on out, it's going to not be disappointing, but it's not going to be the same. Like we talked about black and white, a couple of weeks ago or last week, was it?
Yeah.
I can't go back to black and white. I'm good. Like it was a thing of its time.
I wouldn't mind revisiting black and white for a few shits and giggles, but I'm with you. Black and white definitely it does not hold up. Like I'm going to definitely pick up this game from a time to time, Advanced Wars, and just play it because I'm having a lot of fun going forward with it. And I have no nostalgia for it. It just holds up. And I didn't realize how intertwined it was with Fire Emblem. I didn't realize that Fire Emblem influenced Advanced Wars, and then conversely this game end up influencing Fire Emblem, so they're very tight and tight with each other. So
yeah, and Nintendo like owns both, so well done Nintendo, I suppose.
What Nintendo doesn't own for some weird reason, we talked about this for a second earlier this week when I sent you the link, is called Advanced Wars by Web. And you can play online Advanced Wars.
This is so weird.
You can start your matches with people. I'm like, how is this possible?
It looks a little insane.
Nintendo not know?
I think they know, but it's also weird. Like, okay, so I'm gonna go into this so people
It's not like Advanced Wars 1-to-1, right?
No.
But it's definitely using their characters.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt about it. The thing about it, though, is there's a lot. There's too much stuff on screen, though. It's my only problem. They put a billion. It's a bigger map. There's all these units. It's a big multiplayer mayhem thing. I don't know if I can get into that. I haven't tried this. I feel like I'm worried it would sully my overall love of the series. Yeah. I don't know.
It's outside, right? It's outside of the Nintendo proper intelligent. Was it intelligent design?
Intelligent systems, I think. The system,
intelligent system. Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of curious, but I'm also like
up to 16 players, Scott.
That's too much. That's too much. Look at these maps. They're freaking. Look at that map I'm showing right here. That's
right.
That looks like a headache.
They've got leagues.
Yeah.
They've got leagues.
So does everything else in the world, you know?
But yeah, it looks a little more dry, right? It doesn't look like the cartoony fun that we're having. And I don't think it has all the game mechanics. You're not going to get in here and play Advanced Wars but in a web browser. It's more like Advanced Wars concepts and stats and kind of played in a different way from what I've seen so far.
Yeah. So I'm actually more interested in what Nintendo follows up this reboot with. Something new, you know, that would be really interesting to me. Maybe a Switch 2 product, since we're getting so long in the tooth on the Switch 1. I do think it's interesting that they sell this reboot thing, but they also have this on at least the first one. I don't know about the second one, but the first GBA game is also on Nintendo's online thing. What do they call it?
Nintendo Online.
No, it's something else. The name of it, what do they call it when they have all their old games on there? The Super Nintendo, and GBAs Online. And what's that called? Is it just Nintendo Online? Is that it?
I'm not sure. Well, yeah, it's part of the Nintendo Online service. You're looking for a specific name.
There was a name for the collection.
The old school stuff?
Yeah, I thought there was. Maybe there's not. Back in the day, they had the Wii had the virtual console. It was, it's like a name like that.
Yeah. What's Play Classic Games. I think it's just called, I think it's just called Play Classic Games.
I don't know. Yeah, freaking, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It just says, that's all it says. It says Nintendo Online and then Play Classic Games. I don't, maybe they don't have something for it. Yeah.
All right. I was going to tell you one other thing. That I wanted to recommend, so because you have on there this web thing, but also we mentioned Wargroove. Wargroove is a very good one of these.
Yeah, Wargroove.
And it's a modern take, somebody else's take, but it's very similar. I wanted to tell you about this one that I found called, it's not Triangle Strategy. Where is it? Not Dark Deity. Everyone knows about Into the Breach. It's fantastic. You should totally play that, but that's not it. Where is it? No.
While you're looking for that, I'm going to tell you about a little trivia. Glitched. This game has an odd glitch that allows the player to edit maps that they are currently playing in either the campaign or war room modes. This allows the player to simply make the enemy immediately surrender and win. Cheater, cheater.
Pumpkin eater. Mm-hmm. That's what those are. Here it is. The Banner Saga Trilogy. You may not think about that one.
Oh, yes.
There's a ton of story in it, but that game, if you boil it down, is kind of this. It's a very different way of playing this, but it is kind of this. And I like those games. Those three games are very, very good. So would recommend that.
I will give a warning, though, for anybody who's playing it, is looking for the first time playing Advance Wars. Be prepared. They talk a lot.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of hand holding, especially in the training area. And even after you start getting to the regular campaigns, there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of clicking. It's like, okay, lady, I see you. Okay. Yeah, I see you. I got you. I need to go there and do this. Okay. Click, 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 click.
Yep.
If that bothers you, you may be in maybe experience.
Get out of the business. Yeah. Also hear good thing. I've never played a Valkyria Chronicles game, but I hear those are very good and very similar in a bunch of ways. Shadowrun. Good example. The newer Shadowrun game for PC is very good and plays a lot like it. Fae Tactics, which I have not played, but I hear it's all right. And
I played that one.
That Honkai Star Rail game. It's not grid based.
Oh yeah, Honkai. Whenever I heard that title, I was like, okay.
There's a lot of
Honkai.
That. These Honkai. Honkai. Yeah. The other Honkai. One I can't think of it now. It's called something. Shit. I cannot find it. And then your Civs, you could play Civ and those games. Those are all StarCraft.
But why play any of that when we just told you there's a freaking amazing game called Advance Wars?
Yeah, play that. Just play Advance Wars. Yeah.
I want to play the GameCube version. It is supposed to be kind of like a third person.
I didn't know that. That was a confusion point for me. I didn't know that ever came out. Yeah. Was it here in the States? Could you get that here?
I'm not sure. I just saw it and I saw a little gameplay footage. I did no more research than that because I was, knuckle deep into Advance Wars. So I was like, I don't know, man. Knuckle deep. Can I say that? That sounds rude.
Was it was it Battalion Wars? Is that it?
Is that what it was called? Let me see.
Hold on.
GameCube. Let me see. I'm trying to. It might have been Battalion Wars. Yeah, I think you're right. It was called Battalion Wars. Kind of reminded me of how it looked when you played Army Men. Remember Army Men from that time?
Yeah. This is it. Yeah, this is what you're thinking strategy? Of. I don't think this was them, though. This was a different team. This is not. So it is. It's a real-time tactics game developed by Kuju London, published by Nintendo for the GameCube. Vast array of units. Game received generally favorable reviews. There was also a sequel called Battalion Wars 2 for the Wii. I never played that. Third-person perspective, real-time. So this is real-time, not turn-based. But clearly they took some unit inspiration. I'm looking at screenshots here and it's like
unit.
They're chunky and
there's a whole thing we didn't even talk about. There's all the stuff that was released in Japan well before we started getting anything in the US. It was Wars series, which was the Famicom Wars and Super Famicom Wars and all these other things that preceded the Advance Wars that we finally got in the US, and that's what we mostly know. And by the way, you also, if you've got the Game Boy player for your GameCube, which I do, you can stick your Game Boy Advance cartridge in there of your Advance Wars and go to town. Get to play it on the big screen.
Wow. I didn't know that. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rock and roll, baby.
I never did that. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Game Boy player for your GameCube.
Oh, right. I thought that for whatever reason, I thought that was limited to game. No, that was, it was Game Boy Advance stuff. Mm. That's okay.
Yeah. It was Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, no DS stuff. You can actually get a player for fairly inexpensive. And if you get like the Swiss boot disc, you do a couple cheap mods on your GameCube. Next thing you know, you can stick your real carts in there and play it on the big TV. And if you got one of the DAL 001s, mm-hmm. that's short for Dolphin. You can get an HDMI adapter, which has got a really nice side for the S video component side. It upscales very nicely.
I'm looking at some really good Battalion Wars video. This looks like fun.
I think it looks like fun. Like I said, I tried not to get too deep into it because it looked like fun. And I was like, I got to finish playing the game.
Yeah, you got other shit to play. But I like the physics on these. Vehicle physics are cool. This looks like a good time. Yeah, it looks all right.
Man, GameCube is still one of my favorite consoles. Consoles.
I love the GameCube. Big fan.
I love the games. I love the attitude that was going on of trying to make a grown-up Nintendo product that was for, grown-ups.
I like that it had a cube. I like that it was a cube and it had a handle on it,
So you can carry it with you. Everybody's going to do that. I can't wait for everybody to be running around town with their little GameCubes to their local GameCube LAN parties.
Yeah, hell yeah. I would play this game right now. I'm going to have to seek it out. All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Advance Wars still holds up, is awesome. Go play it, emulate it, buy it, get it, however you want it, play it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Brian, it's time,
game hole.
Time for a game of our own, and we're changing things up today. Check it out. That's the wrong damn thing. Just a second. Sorry, I'm on the wrong
team. I like it, though. What is that?
Here it is.
Destroy it.
I don't know where I got that other thing. I use it for core, though.
Yeah, I know.
On the wrong tab.
That last one you used is from the X-Men game. Remember that?
Oh, X-Chicken? Is that what that is? Is that from X-Chicken?
I think that's from X-Chicken. Is it? That's from X-Men. Sonic.
Where's my X-Chicken? No.
X-Chicken.
There it is. I found it. It's called Magneto. Yeah, it's not called X-Chicken. I should call Magneto. That. I should name that different.
X-Chicken.
Anyway, let's get to the game here. This is a Guess Our Game where we play audio from an old game and we try to guess what it is. Now, we have some changes this week. Going to try this out. A bunch of people suggested it. Or three people suggested it. So I'm like, you know what? We'll give it a shot. And maybe this makes it easier moving forward because we are into obscure town now. With games, and we're no longer playing Mario, and you're playing freaking Zelda, Sonic. And we are Sonic. We have to guess what these easy to guess games are. We're now into the weeds,
right? This is Pac-Man. Recognize it.
Waka 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 waka.
Yeah.
So we're gonna instead try some multiple choice and see how this goes. And very similar otherwise. I'm gonna give you some information that'll help you out. And we both are Game Boy Advance this week. My game is from the Game Boy Advance. The year is 2003. Mm-hmm. 2003.
Yeah.
21 years ago. Yeah. The genre is run and gun, or I don't know, maybe more platforming than that. But
yeah,
think of it as heavy platforming with some run and gun elements. How about that?
All right.
Published by Capcom. And I'm going to give you your audio and then I'll give you your choices. Okay. That's definitely not it. All right. Here we go. I'm playing this.
This is Advance Wars.
It sounds a lot like it, doesn't it?
It does.
There's some menu stuff. Some more menu. Here's gameplay. It's a lot of hopping around, popping. Here are your choices.
Popping and popping.
You ready for this? Here's your choices.
I'm ready. Give me some choices, please.
All right. A, is it Mega Man 02? B, is it Sonic Advance 2? C, is it Gunstar Superheroes? Or D, Astro Boy, the Omega Factor? Which of those things is it?
It is, when you said it was, once again, it was, it was Game Boy 2003 Run and Gun with platforming. Okay, so.
Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Advance, what did I say? Okay, sorry. Yeah. I don't hear anything Sonic in there, but yum, yum, yum. Plus Capcom, they could publish it. Yeah, I wouldn't think so, though. Game Boy, I don't think so. Mm. A, B, C, or D? I don't think it's Gunstar Superheroes.
Hmm.
I played that not long ago. So
these are all narrow. These are all excellent, by the way. Every one of these I've mentioned in my possibles are all very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are very good. Mega Man Zero 2, I've never played that one. Astro Boy, the Omega Factor is one I've been wanting to play. And it does have all that. Because yeah. Astro Boy is very much about all that hyped up, especially from that era, 2003.
Sure.
I'm going to go with D. The answer is not Mega Man Zero 2, not Sonic Advance 2, not Gunstar Superheroes, but instead it is D, Astro Boy, the Omega Factor.
I'm glad that you mentioned all the rest that it isn't so that you could mention the one that it is. Is he correct? Hold on. Nope. No. Sorry, wrong button. You're wrong. It's Mega Man Zero 2. Mega Man Zero 2.
The only one I wasn't sure about.
Yep. The giveaway could have been Capcom, but you're right that Astro Boy could have been Capcom also. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It was a choice between the two, and it was either A or D, and I couldn't decide. And I was just like, I don't know. I don't know anything about Mega Man Zero 2, so.
Of all the Mega Man,
at least have seen the Astro Boys.
Of all the Mega Man Zero series that were all GBA games, that's my favorite. Two is really good. The rest of them are
nice.
Okay. They're all right, but two is great. All right, Brian, you failed. Now it's my turn. Tell me what I'm listening to here.
You failed. Once again, four choices, and you're playing on the Game Boy Advance. Why not? We loved the Advance Wars so much, we decided to dig through the platform. Yep. This one, mine was a couple years earlier, though, 2001. It is a beat 'em up. And it was published by Activision. Your choices are A, Choplifter Advance, B, Astro Boy, Omega Factor, C, Final Fight 1, or D, Jackie Chan Adventures, Legend of the Dark Hand.
Oh, my Lord. All right, that's some real punching. Published by
Activision.
All right, if this was Capcom, the easy answer would be Final Fight 1, because Final Fight's a Capcom joint. It's definitely not Chop,
by the way.
There's no Choplifter, because Choplifter involves helicopters, not slapping. I would hear a helicopter by now. I know it's not Astro Boy, because I just listened to that. I don't think that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Activision. I'm going to go with D, Jackie Chan Adventures, Legend of the Dark Hand.
It is D, Jackie Chan Adventures, Legend of the Dark Hand.
I love that you made it easier for me, because you did Choplifter Advance, which is obviously a joke pick.
Obviously.
So I really only had three choices. That one's a little, I was not sure, because Astro Boy maybe fit in there and Activision maybe published them. So this makes me think for my next one, I'm going to put, if I had a publisher like Capcom, all my choices will be Capcom games. That way you have to really
dig. I think that's going to overcomplicate it. What I think we should start doing, since we're doing multiple choice, we started giving all this extra information because we didn't have any multiple choice. I think we should narrow down, maybe just go, here's my clip, pick one of these four.
You know what? Like that.
Platform.
I like it. Maybe year. Maybe you don't even need platform. Maybe just year. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Strip all this stuff away.
It's evolving, everybody. Watch us evolve. All right. This is an evolution.
This is not even our final form.
No, we're not even close. This is still Pikachu or Pichu or whatever the hell we are. I don't know what he does.
Pichu.
I'm not an expert in Pokemon. Please do not at me.
Jeez, Ash. Boy, you nailed it. Good job.
Killing it here. All right. Now this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Well, looky here. We got an email from a listener, playretroshow@gmail.com. This is Sean Selders, who wrote in. He says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I just want to take a moment to stop and appreciate the things in my life that I enjoy. Play Retro being one of them. In December, I underwent a colonoscopy that flagged questionable lesion and warranted a body scan. Eventually, this led to me being in the hospital as I write this, recovering from having a tumor removed as well as 6 inches of my colon. Good Lord.
Ugh.
That's a lot, dude.
I need all my inches of my colon.
Yeah, you want every inch you've got. I'm currently waiting to hear the results of the biopsy on the cancer that was removed and what the next step will be. And the entire situation has made me stop and appreciate the things I enjoy, as they can be taken away without warning. While family and friends have been there for me, when things got dark and I got tired of thinking about cancer, I always had your show to turn to for a wonderful distraction. It got me through a lot, and I can't thank the both of you enough. I finally opened up I finally opened up about it on Brian's stream. This is Oakleaf88 on Twitch, by the way.
Yep. My father, Oakleaf. Yes, I have. Yes, yep. Indeed.
And don't, let's see, and want listeners to know that I'm only 45 years old and I was lucky to catch this early. Get screened. Don't fear colonoscopies or hospitals and take time to appreciate the things you enjoy and the people you love. Thanks again for all the both of you do to keep us entertained and informed. And I'm looking forward to being around for many years to continue following you both and what you do. All the best to you and your families, as well as the listeners and theirs, Sean Selders. Well, that was just about the nicest and most poignant email I've gotten in months. So thank you for that.
Yes.
For saying those nice things. But more importantly, I hope you're doing okay, that the screening comes back negative for any kind of spread. And you'll just be a guy with a slightly smaller colon for the rest of your life, and it's fine.
Yes, a little shorter track, but that's fine. Just that other part just have to work a little bit harder at absorbing those nutrients. Yeah. I did talk to Sean on the stream a couple of times, and Sean confirmed, got to go home not this past Wednesday, but the previous Wednesday. So hopefully, hopefully you're doing well, recovering well.
Yep,
and keep on keeping on. And absolutely, got to appreciate. Got to appreciate the good things in life.
Appreciate what you got when you got it. Yep. That's right. Live every day like you're going to have some colon missing. That's how you do it.
And
get those checks done. I got mine scheduled for next year, next June, because I already did one and it was clean. They said, well, you don't have to go until 2025.
How clean did they say it was, though? I imagine your poop chute is still pretty dirty, though.
They said, look, maybe cut back on the saltine crackers. We got a few
cat
in there.
Food.
The cat
food.
Yeah, stop eating the cat food. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, stop it.
All right. Time for us to play or to give you an update.
Ludicrous kill. Holy shit.
That's right. It's time for the Unreal Report. Hundreds more of you have been joining us all the time to play Unreal Tournament 99 and 2K4 over the month. And we'd like to thank you all for your gibs and your gibbings, or your jibs and your jibbings, depending on how you say it.
Yes.
Have we had a big change in the top fives? Let's take a look here.
We're still seeing most of the same people, except I believe on Unreal Tournament 2K4, Try to Kill Everyone has moved to the top spot.
By a lot.
And me and you have kind of still stayed in our typical positions. And let's see, on the Unreal Tournament, Denier and Flap Jackson continue, and Surge as well. Those top three players. Okay, so here we go. We got the top three players on the Unreal Tournament 99 server: Denier, Flap Jackson, Surge, then Frog Pants, and then Adhesive Wombat. That's the top five. Denier, Flap Jackson, and Surge have all been kind of taking turns at the very top there.
I did bump up in 2K4. I was fifth for a while, and I'm up to three.
Yes.
Try to Kill Everyone is killing us. Brack Flack, I'm not even sure I've played him yet. He's doing well. Flap Jackson,
very well.
I am now above Flap Jackson by all of 4 points or something. So Flap Jackson,
I'm
take
on your
that.
Tail, Flap Jackson.
You bastard.
I'm on your tail.
That's right. Shock effect right behind you there. Anyway, we're having a blast. Good to see KT Data on that list. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Doing good.
Congrats to him. And Fart Gas at number 10 on the 99 server. That's pretty cool, too.
Look at that.
Anyway, that game continues to be rad. If you want to go check out what's going on there, retrogib.com. That's retrogib.com. And we try to play after the show on most Fridays. We also play on Mondays. 99 on Mondays, 2K4 on Fridays.
Yep. And we had a little bump this past week. We didn't get a chance to do it. I did do some map cleaning up, though, for 2K4. And also, we picked up a matchmaker. Matchmaker, make me a match. Sue Tranu is going to be helping us with setting up map lists, mutators, and matches. If you also would like to give a hand with setting up matches on any of these Unreal tournaments, we'll talk to you. And we'll see if we can't find a place for you to also contribute, because it helps me a lot, because I can't always be in there going, mutator map. I need this and this and this and
reach out to us. Reach out. We're on the Discord. Go to frogpants.com/discord, join the Play Retro chat, and you're in. So it's all we need.
You're in.
Our next episode is going to end like Flint. Not Michigan, they have bad water. Anyway, we're moving on.
That
should be fixed by now, right? Flint, Michigan people, are they okay?
Yeah, it's got to be fixed, right? I mean, it'd be ridiculous to think it wasn't, but it's probably not.
Flint water. I'm just going to look this up real fast. This is kind of breaking
news. You're talking to a Camp Lejeune baby, so I know how long it takes to freaking for them to clean water up. Decades.
Flint residents reach a $25 million lawsuit with the engineering firm in the water crisis lawsuit. So it sounds like they're kind of in the litigious part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think you can go and drink it now. I don't know.
Not me, baby. I'm bringing me some bottled water.
Yeah, bottle that water, babe. We're going to talk about our next week's discussion. And our next week's discussion is going to be a game that turns 40 this year. Spy versus Spy, baby. Spy versus Spy. The Mad Magazine game spinoff. 1984 was the year. And I loved it. A lot of people loved it. And my love of Mad Magazine goes deep.
Yes, this is on the I'm loving it because I get to revisit my Sega Master System as well as the NES. This is from 1984. And there's a 1 and 2. We'll see how Intel Spy v Fly, Spy. Yeah, not Spy. Fly.
Sure.
Spy v Fly.
Fly, we'll see how, Fly versus we'll see how Intel Spy. Yeah.
And I'm hoping, since we gave Scott enough time, maybe he can find some Mad Magazines in his...
Hell yeah. I already pulled those boxes out. I just got to pull one out and I'll bring
okay,
it.
Good.
Yeah. Right, good. I'll even find one with a Spy versus Spy in it. How about that?
Ooh.
I even have a special somewhere.
Some foldable stuff?
Well, somewhere I have a Spy versus Spy special. It's just nothing but Spy versus Spy, like best ofs. Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know where that is. It's somewhere in that box. But anyway, all of that coming up soon. In the meantime, I'd like to thank our patrons at patreon.com/playretro. People like Ben, Mr. Zip, Spencer Cole. Ooh. Just a few of the folks that have joined us for no commercials ever. Pre-show content every week. More. Go find out more at patreon.com/playretro. And thanks for...
I wonder if Mr. Zip charges for his application.
I don't know. Maybe he's
Mr. Zip?
He's going to change his name to Mr. Jazz soon because he can get bigger that way. Do you get it? Zip Drive, Jazz Drive. Do you get it?
Zip Drive, Jazz Drive. I got it. Yeah, I wonder if...
Pretty good.
I wonder if he'll ever do an episode on those stupid, useless devices.
Oh, my Lord. I still have those, too. I have a couple of those.
Yep.
Anyway, that is going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. I would like you all to go play something retro. And we'll see you next week. Bye now.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Now you've done it.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.